Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Thursday evening edition of the PWTorch.com livecast. I am PWTorch.com's Mike McMahon, alongside PWTorch.com's Andrew Socek. Andrew, how are you doing tonight?
Mike, doing great. How are you doing tonight?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Just got through another edition of Impact Wrestling, and we have a new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Bobby Lashley defeats Eddie Edwards in a 30-man Ironman match, 3-2. And we're going to run down the show in just a second, but Andrew, your thoughts on the main event, your thoughts on Bobby Lashley as the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, overall, I thought the match was pretty good. The night as a whole was better than last week's, and I think they probably made the right call in moving the belt from Edwards back to Lashley.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I thought that Edwards was given the belt a little too early, even last year. You know, we talked about it last week. I just didn't feel like he was champion. I didn't feel like he was at the level of being a world champion yet, and there's still other things for him to do. They definitely teased an Edwards-Davey Richards feud on the show, with Edwards telling Richards before the match that, you know, he was going to have to go out there alone and do this and prove it to himself, and, you know, Richards sort of scowled at him as he walked away. It certainly seems like that's where they're going to go next, but I agree. I thought this was a better show than last week. Overall, you know, I thought all the matches were pretty good. We finally saw the X Division again, and I think it's the right move to go ahead and move the belt back to Bobby Lashley, and more, I think he legitimizes the belt more than Edwards was able to do at the time he was given it and during this 3 or 3.5 month run he's had.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the right move, definitely, to put it back on Lashley. I definitely wish they had never taken it off of him, just built him up into this huge monster, but I think they realized it wasn't quite working with Edwards, so just glad that they're moving forward with that.
Well, a quick rundown of the show in case you didn't see it. And also, if you want to give us a call, we're going to take some calls here in a little bit. You can give us a call at 515-605-9345. Again, the number is 515-605-9345. Andrew and I are going to get to three things we liked about this show in a little bit, but we're going to run down things quickly here in case you didn't see this week's edition of Impact. Match number one, the Hardys defeated the DCC and Decay in a three-way match to retain the TNA Tag Team Championship. And Andrew, I thought this was a good opener. You know, I like the promo that they had at the beginning of the show was good. I think starting the show with the Hardys was good, especially when you're trying to draw in some eyeballs, and they kept it quick. You know, they weren't 15 or 20 minutes setting up that match. They got in, they got out pretty quickly, and then had a pretty good opener, I thought.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, in this era, we're so used to, like, long 20-minute promo setting up the show. But, yeah, they kept it brief. They got into it. It was a fun match, you know, nothing that will be remembered years to come, but it was a good way to start the night.
Yeah, I think especially when you're TNA and you're trying to get people to watch your show, and what's the biggest thing people have talked about over the last 6 months, actually longer than that now, it's been Matt Hardy. It's been Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy and what they've been doing. So in an attempt to get some eyeballs, starting the show with them, I think is a pretty good move.
Yeah, yep, totally.
Then they moved on to Drew Galloway defending his Impact Grand Championship. He issued an open challenge, and Moose, the former champion, ended up answering that challenge. But Galloway retained the title with a low blow. A couple of things that I thought were interesting about this match, the more emphasis on the MMA style, you know, taking the point away for the low blow, which is something they did last week too. But it felt more sport-like, I thought. And also, you know, this is setting up, I think, a pretty good story between Galloway and Moose. And I like how Galloway came back sort of ingenuine as a babyface. Obviously a heel, but came back and sort of tried to trick the fans and say, hey, you know what? I'm here for you to make this title mean something. And then to win it in, you know, with some cheap tactics and then to retain it tonight, I think is good for what he's going to do with that title moving forward. And we'll see. I mean, I think ultimately he wants to make that title pretty important. We'll see if he's able to with his run with it here.
Yeah, I think they've got a bit of an uphill battle to turn the crowd against them. They still seem to like Drew Galloway quite a bit. But if that's the direction they're going to go in, I think tonight was probably a nice step forward. You know, make Moose seem sympathetic and keep seeing that he's screwed over. So far, it was fine. Maybe they shouldn't have rushed into that rematch again, because we'll probably keep seeing it in the future. But overall, yeah, it was another fine match.
Yeah, I agree, though. I mean, I wonder if we're going to see this over and over and over again. I hope it doesn't feel too stale, you know, when we're on match three or match four of Moose rematches, if they keep going in that direction. But then they moved on to one of the advertised matches, one of the two really big advertised matches. Rosemary beats Jade in a Monsters Ball match to retain the Knockouts title. I thought that this was a really good match for what it was. You know, I'm not a big fan of all the big weapons matches all the time, but I thought that they really worked hard. I mean, Rosemary taking all of the big dangerous, or at least the perceived dangerous bumps in this match. She took the barbed wire board. You know, she landed on the thumbtacks. I thought that, you know, her effort in this match was exceptional. And both of them, really, I thought, put on a pretty good match for this style of match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What I've really appreciated about TNA over the past few months is that they're really not afraid to let a heel go over clean and look strong. Like you were saying, Rosemary took so much punishment, and then she still in the end won, and then kind of later, as we saw with Lashley. And I think it really helps them to just, like, become a star in the eyes of the fans.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I thought it was a little overstated when Josh Matthews was talking after the match about how this one set the bar, giving the hat tip to WWE a little bit and their women's wrestling. But you know what? He's supposed to do that. I get it. You know, you're trying to pump your product. I get what he's doing. But yeah, you know, I like that they didn't have Decay interfere here. I like that they let her win clean. Like you said, they haven't been afraid to let heels win clean. And I think that, to be honest with you, I think that's what's made their show more enjoyable to watch over the last, I'd say almost the last year, their willingness to give clean finishes and to, you know, let the heels win when they have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree on that.
And then we went into an X Division title match. We finally see the X Division. This is the first time we've seen the X Division since Anthem has bought the company. This is since the beginning of the year. You know, the X Division has not really made any appearances at all. And DJZ retains in a big spot-filled match with five other guys. He beat Caleb Conley, who got a lot of attention in a pre-match interview, and then during the match as well from Josh Matthews. Also in the match, Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, and Marche Rocket. And then after the match, the Helms Dynasty, as a tandem, as a trio, takes out DJZ, and they point out that Trevor Lee has a briefcase for next week's open fight night. I thought this was another good match. I mean, it was quick. 5 minutes for a five-man match is really quick. They got in and out of this one really fast, and it sort of hurt the match a little bit, in my opinion. It just seemed like guys were trading dives. I mean, every single time you looked, it was somebody else had their turn of doing the dive outside the ring. But I thought the post-match angle setting up next week's potential open fight night, which what I assume is going to be Trevor Lee against DJZ for the X Division title, I thought that was a good angle and a good hook to bring people back for next week.
Yeah, I thought the ending was strong. I think, I mean, Lee, I think, just has a great presence. He has great facial expressions. Otherwise, this was probably one of the weakest parts of the night for me. I just, like, if you're going to throw a five-man match out there, I wish they'd at least put DJZ out there talking about, you know, he's a babyface, so he's probably not going to say it's unfair, but just really putting over, like, how confident he is in this and just give some sort of explanation why there's even 5 men in this match in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sort of the trap they've fallen into with the X Division, I feel like, for years. It's just, especially on pay-per-view, it's like, well, which multi-man X Division match are we going to have that the guys go out there and fly around? It sort of takes the importance away a little bit. I think it's okay to go with a one-on-one match every once in a while, you know? Like you said, instead of throwing all those guys out in the ring, why not just do DJZ against Andrew Everett, or do DJZ against Trevor Lee, and then have him use the briefcase to rematch next week or something. I think you could do some similar things, even some better things, without having to muddy it down with so many guys out there.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. Josh Matthews said something to the effect of, like, these are some of the biggest stars in the division. And it's like, not really. It's basically just the entire division, and three of these guys always lose. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I thought it was interesting, though, what they were doing with Caleb Conley, introducing him the way that they did, not only with that interview before the match to introduce him, but then they also, I mean, Josh Matthews and Pope, they were talking him up, especially at the beginning of that match. It makes you wonder, you know, where are they going to go from here? If DJZ, I don't know if he needs to take some time off, if this injury is legitimate that they played up at the end of the match, if he's going to be taking some time off or not. But it almost seemed like they were prepping Caleb Konley to be the babyface in that division if DJZ needed to take some time off here. And maybe we'll see a Konley-Trevor Lee feud over that belt if Lee were to challenge DJZ next week and actually win the championship.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that. I wish they would have put the video was fine before the match. I wish they would have probably put him in a bigger spotlight match where he could just go over, because kind of by the end of that match, I had basically forgotten that he debuted at all.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that may have been the better way to do that too, is give Caleb Konley a one-on-one match with Andrew Everett and have him go over clean, and then have DJZ come out to congratulate him or something like that, and then all of a sudden the helm's down as he takes out both of them. And then you could still do the same angle with DJZ to set up the match for next week. At least that would have given Konley a win, and also I think it would have also given us a better introduction. Cause like you said, he had some good spots at the beginning of that match. All of a sudden, though, with all the dives and then with DJZ actually getting the win, by the end of it, he did seem a little lost, and you almost forget that it seemed like this match was set up for him to be introduced and to lay the groundwork maybe for something for him moving forward.
Yeah, if nothing else, though, it's nice to see at least one new face in the division. They probably need a dozen more, or at least half a dozen more, but I'll start with one. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. They need some new faces, I think, on the roster in general.
Definitely.
And then we moved on to our main event where, like we said, Bobby Lashley beats Eddie Edwards for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. And we hit on this a little bit at the beginning of the show, but, you know, I agree with you. I think this is the right move to get the belt back on Lashley. We'll see where they go from here. Is it EC3? I doubt it would be Eli Drake at this point, but it sort of seems like they have some rivalries or some feuds set with Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, EC3 and Eli Drake. So you almost wonder what's next for Lashley. And they hinted at, you know, Jeff Hardy maybe using his open fight night briefcase to challenge for the world title next week. Matt Hardy at his premonition and the promo right before the main event where he said he knows who Jeff is going to challenge, but they cut out before Matt was able to say it. Maybe they start to throw the Hardys and specifically Jeff in that world title mix. We'll have to see where they go, but that would be something that I think would be interesting and obviously keeps the Hardy characters in a prime spot and could do something to really solidify Lashley as a really good world champion, I think, especially if he's able to get some wins over Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move as well. He could go over Jeff. Jeff's not going to lose anything because he's still one of the most popular guys in the company. He's still going to do his tag team stuff, but I think it's smart to especially get the Hardys away from the tag division, even though they have the belt for a little bit, or they have the belt at the moment, just because there's no teams there. As we saw tonight, they ran through DCC once again. They went through Decay, so they really need new teams, as we were kind of talking about new people coming in. So, I think Jeff versus Lashley is probably about as good as they can do for the near future.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back in just a couple minutes. We have a couple of people on the line that want to talk about tonight's episode of Impact Wrestling. Before we go to break, though, Andrew's come up with some trivia questions, and we'll give the answers after the break. I like these. You know what? I did not know the answer to... Did I know? What was the other one? Yeah, no, I didn't know the answer to either of these, actually, when you sent them to me earlier today, and had to look both of them up. So they're very good. I like them
a lot.
The first one, before we go to the first break, which two of these Monday Night War veterans did not hold the TNA Heavyweight Championship? And you give four potential answers here. Mick Foley, Kevin Nash, Rob Van Dam, Booker T. Which two of those guys did not hold the TNA Heavyweight Championship? The answer, right after the break. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch Livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with PWTorch.com.
Andrew, which two of Mick Foley, Kevin Nash, Rob Van Dam, Booker T, which two of those guys did not hold the TNA Heavyweight Championship?
The answer is Kevin Nash and Booker T. They never held TNA Heavyweight Championship. Though, consolation prize for both of them, they held the prestigious Legends title.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's almost more important, is it not?
Yeah, some would say yes.
You know, I could have sworn, it was funny too, because when you sent me the question in an email earlier today, I knew that Booker T didn't, but Kevin Nash feels like he was in TNA. That feels like it was so long ago. I had to look it up because I was like, you know what? He was there for such a long time and such a long time ago. I'm like, he must have held it at one point. I was genuinely surprised that it wasn't him.
Yeah, I would have, you know, I kind of, you would think that is definitely, because he showed up, I think, in like 2004, 2005, kind of with Jeff Jarrett, and they all dressed up as Elvises for a bit, and then it just, 8 years later, he left. Never held it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long run there, too. You know, he actually, if you think about it, he was in TNA longer than he was in WCW, and obviously you remember the WCW run a whole lot more than you remember the TNA run.
That kind of blew my mind. I never even thought of that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he was only, they made the jump in 96 and the company was closed by 2001. So he was only there 5 years.
Right. Wow.
All right. We're going to take some phone calls. We're going to get to three things we liked about the show in a couple of minutes, but we do want to get to some calls. Just a quick reminder, we have not looked at spoilers. We are talking about the show as they happen. So if you have a question about something that is coming up in these tapings, please bring it up the night that it happens. We're trying to stay spoiler-free here on the PW Torch Livecast. So our first caller of the evening comes from area code 505. 505, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. This is Vinny from Albuquerque, New Mexico. How y'all doing tonight?
Not bad, Vinny. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. Hey, first, Mike, just want to give you some quick props. Great job with all the reports that you've done on Impact throughout the years. I'm a wrestling fan. I like TNA quite a bit, so it's nice to have somebody actually report it. So great job for all of your coverage on it there throughout the last few years. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to kind of throw a couple of things at you guys. I think the first thing I just want to talk about is the main event. Lashley and, of course, Edwards. You mentioned heels going over very strong. Now that the belt is on Lashley, what other guys you think he could go or what other guys can go after Lashley here, kind of in that babyface mold, other than Hardy? Do you think that there's anyone else that could be a nice little program, at least for the next few weeks or next few months?
You know, I think Hardy's the one they're going to go to right away. And I wonder if they go with a combination of maybe Jeff Hardy and Lashley says, I want to take out, let's say Lashley beats Jeff Hardy. And then he goes, you know what, I want to take out both of them. And maybe Matt Hardy gets a match. And I could see them working EC3 in there as well. Andrew, any other thoughts on guys that you might see get rotated in there? I think the Hardys and EC3 are the three obvious ones. But there's some guys underneath that I think could be elevated too.
You know, yeah, I'm trying to think of just everyone out there, but nobody's really coming to mind unless, you know, post Hardy feud, they work in Moose, for a bit again. And I mean, you know, like you said, going with EC3, we've already seen it a bunch of time, but, just kind of due to the roster at the moment, they may have to go back to, EC3 feuding with Lashley for a bit.
I think they'll go back to that at some point. Moose is the one I was thinking about, though. You know, we'll see what happens between him and Galloway, but Moose just seems like they never really went there with a feud. I mean, I know they did a couple of one-off matches, but when Moose first came in last year, they really teased Moose Lashley right away. I mean, it looked like that was going to be a big feud. I actually thought at the time when they were teasing it in the summer, I was like, okay, well, this is one of their Bound for Glory matches. I mean, that's the attention they were giving it at the time when he first debuted. And then obviously they went in some different directions, even though they did have a couple of matches there. But I think we'll see Moose probably get some sort of program with Lashley during this run for whatever that is. I mean, the way TNA runs their show, it's really episodic, not many pay-per-views. I mean, a program between Moose and Lashley may only be a month, but you know, I think we'll see some sort of interaction there between those two at some point. Anything else for Rizmini?
Yeah. Just two other things. I did read this week that the creative direction in these tapings, I guess Dutch and Jarrett weren't involved with this taping. It from what I've heard and what I've read, it looks like this was stuff Corgan had lined up for the first set of tapings before, I guess, he had left. So I'm curious to see in March what they start doing, if it's a total rebrand. I think one of the things that drew my attention here, at least on this episode, is it seems like they're slowing down a little bit. I like the X Division stuff, them kind of teasing an actual feud instead of the crazy matches. So I'm very interested to see what they do with that. Another thing I wanted to ask you guys, and this is kind of maybe leading into the future a little bit, since the roster is so thin, are there maybe 3 to 5 guys that you think that are out there free agent wise that now that new ownership's involved that they can actually get, you know, like for me, I think Del Rio would be someone that I think would do good with Impact. You know, of course, keeping Cody. Is there maybe any other guys you think might be good for Impact for 2017 that's not working anywhere at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think Del Rio is the obvious one. And you would think under new ownership, if they had the money to buy the company, if they had the money to invest the way that they've done so far, you would think that they would have some money there to upgrade the roster if they wanted to. And I'm sure, you know, like any pro sports team, they may have a salary cap and say, hey, you know what, we don't want to spend any more than X amount of dollars on our talent roster. So maybe there's some cuts that come along with a signing. But you would think that there might be some room there to either add a guy or, you know, improve on a guy. I think keeping Cody Rhodes as long as they can is a big thing on my, would be a big thing on my to-do list. I think Del Rio's another big one that I would certainly be going after almost, you know, right away, to be quite honest with you. I mean, because he could get locked up with Mexico and even some Japan dates pretty quickly, I would think. So you'd want to be able to jump on a guy like that. And then, you know, if I were them, I don't know if I'd want to go ahead and blow my budget on free agents right away, because you'd never know what's going to happen. I mean, they've also got some guys they need to re-sign. I know there's been rumors of the Hardys being up sometime around the summer, and I don't know if it was EC3. There was somebody else, another main event level guy that had his contract coming up about 6 months from now, I think it was around June. So I think they're going to want to get some of their own house items in order first and re-sign the guys they want to re-sign. And then you don't know. I mean, who knows who WWE cuts between now and July? Who knows whose Ring of Honor deal might expire between now and July? And maybe there's a name out there right now that we're not even considering. But Andrew, are there certain guys you think that are available right now that TNA could target that would help their roster?
First of all, I think I read that Drew Galloway his deal is coming up soon, so that might have been who you were thinking about.
He may be the other one. Yeah, he may be the other one. I knew it was another guy that was near the top that I was like, yeah, they're going to want to re-sign that guy.
Sure. Yeah, and you make a good point. I think without the Hardys and without Drew right now, they would be in rough shape. I think at the top of that list, you have to go Del Rio. I'd like to see him come in as a babyface and without like the bad WWE humor that kind of held him back in his last run. I think that him versus Lashley would be really interesting. But otherwise, besides that, it's kind of hard to know who's under contract because ROH is picking up all these guys and signing them to deals. Otherwise, I would say like a Bobby Fish type person, but I can't say for sure how long he's locked up for. But otherwise, yeah, nobody's really – I'm sure there's somebody obvious that I'm just not thinking of, but they're just not coming to mind right now.
You know one guy that I was thinking maybe? Wade Barrett. I don't know if he wants to do anything wrestling-wise, but I thought was a guy that, you know, in WWE, I really liked him, and I thought there was a shot for him to come in and be a little bit more than, you know, what he was in WWE. But I think even though the roster's thin, and I kind of think about it now, they really got a good roster. I think that they got a pretty solid roster. I just think once they get a hold of creative and really kind of get things in order and focus in on it, I think they got a pretty good roster. I just think they need somebody to kind of make a splash again, you know, a big signing or something. And maybe Del Rio's that guy or, you know, who knows who's out there. But I think Cody, I agree with you. I think Cody's like a long-term thing. That would be great. Del Rio and maybe somebody like Barrett or gosh, I can't even think who else is out there, but.
You know, they've done a really good job, and we've talked about their roster, how it's a little smaller. I think one thing they've done a really good job with is making the roster feel bigger than it actually is. And what I mean by that is, you think of tonight's show. We didn't see Mike Bennett. We didn't see Maria. We didn't see EC3. We didn't see Eli Drake. The beginning of the year, we didn't see the X Division. You know, they do a really good job of, every once in a while, there's a big name guy that's kept off for a week. And there's that whole saying of, you know, you can't miss a guy until you have a chance to miss him, right? They got to go away for you to have a chance to miss him. But I think they've done a really good job of making their roster feel bigger by not forcing everybody on every single show. It sort of makes you know, wonder, or makes you remind yourself that when you see EC3 next week, you're like, oh yeah, you know what? I didn't see, he wasn't on the show last week. So it's been a couple of weeks since I've seen him. I think that makes the roster feel bigger than even it is at times.
Yeah. Kind of how we were talking, you know, like the caller saying, I think the roster right now is pretty strong. There's been times in TNA's past where you could point to half a dozen people and be, you know, just think you should cut them. But right now, to me, there's nobody like really obvious that's like at least couldn't contribute in an effective way.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're in a good spot. If they manage it well, just like Vinny was saying. So, Vinny, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Yeah, guys, man, look forward to, you know, listening to the show each week and spreading the word. So thanks for all the great work you guys do. You guys enjoy the evening.
Great. Thank you.
Have a good night. Next caller. We talked to him last week. We'll talk to him again as well. Kylan in New Jersey. How you doing tonight, Kylan?
I'm great, Mike. How are you and Andrew this week?
Very good.
Yeah, doing good.
Great. Mike, did I just hear you say that the Hardys have signed temporary contract extensions?
No. I think their contracts are up. And in fact, you know what? I think we talked about this with you last week. I think their contracts are up here in the next couple of months. I don't think they've signed anything yet, but I think they're up. So I want to say I read it was sometime in June, around the middle of the year.
Last I checked, Jeff's contract is up on, I believe, February 27th.
Well, that's coming up.
Yeah.
And I believe Matt's is up either a couple of days before or a couple of days after Jeff. So that's
If I were TNA, I mean, I thought it was a little later into the spring or summer, but if that's the case, if I were TNA, I mean, they've got about another month, and I would certainly make the Hardys a priority because they've been the two that have no doubt generated the most conversation for their company over the last year.
I'd agree with that. So my first question for you guys, with the departure of Marty Bell, who do you think will decide to make the same move to potentially participate in the upcoming women's tournament, and who do you think TNA will sign to replace those individuals?
That's a good question. You know, I think their knockouts division, sort of like the X division, I think they want to keep it so that they're focusing on one thing at a time. I'm not sure they're going to re-sign any, or they're going to sign anybody to replace her right away. I mean, I think at some point they will, but with the guys they have to re-sign that are coming up, and we don't know, you know, the contracts of everybody on the roster. I wonder if they, okay, you know, someone like Marty Bell, who's going to leave the company, they weren't using her much on TV anyway. I don't know if they look at that and say, hey, we have to invest another contract to replace that person. I think they may just give more time to Laurel Van Ness. They'll give more time to Sienna. They'll give more time to Maria, Allie, what have you, and use the current women on their roster to fill the spot. I think I could see them going more in that direction. I don't know about you, Andrew.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, they might bring in someone like Veda Scott, you know, someone who has tried out with the company before on one of their one-night-only tapings. So they might bring in a few names like that, but I don't think there's anyone really big that they probably have their sights set on. So they'll probably, yeah, just what you're saying, just focus on kind of what they have now, because they seem to be having a lot of fun and giving them a lot of time with all the skits going on.
Exactly, yeah. What else, Colin?
My second question has to do with the proposed TNA Ring of Honor relationship that we heard about a couple months ago. Do you foresee Ring of Honor not necessarily loaning or donating, but gifting TNA talent that they're not going to use anymore to help their brand once Delirious determines they have outstayed their welcome under his and Sinclair's employ?
You know, I think that could be helpful to both sides if they're able to work out some sort of agreement. I think Ring of Honor may be a little skeptical or a little hesitant to, only because you look at the relationship they've had with Japan. And what's the big knock on what they've had with that relationship so far? It's been pretty one-sided. It doesn't seem to be one-sided in Ring of Honor's favor. So I think they may be a little selective before entering in a similar type of relationship or partnership when it comes to sharing talent and whatnot. But, you know, I think it could be good for both sides to get some fresh names every once in a while. And obviously, it'd be good for the wrestlers. I mean, any opportunity it gives them to work, if somebody's not working with TNA and they're off TV, but Ring of Honor says, hey, you know what, we can use this guy. It's good for the wrestlers. It would be good for the two companies if they can come to an agreement. And, you know, with TNA running more house shows reportedly coming up over the next few months and maybe into the summer, they could use, you know, I think some names to spice up some of those cards. I don't know what you think, Andrew.
Yeah, I think it would actually be a great thing for TNA to get a few of those guys in Ring of Honor rings, because over the past few years, they've lost a lot of their maybe coolness, and they're in this rebrand.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Get guys, yeah, so to get like an Eli Drake, get EC3, get them in front of an ecstatic ROH crowd, I think could be a really good thing, mainly for TNA.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about things, too, like, okay, what are they going to do with the tag division? Who's the next team maybe to feud for the tag belts? I mean, if you have some sort of relationship with Ring of Honor and you could bring in, you know, the Briscoes to feud with the Hardys quickly, you know, the way TNA tapes, you might only need to use the Briscoes for 3 or 4 days and you could get a month-long feud out of it on your television show. The way that both Ring of Honor and TNA tapes their TV, I think it's beneficial because you're only taking a couple of days. You know, you could get weeks of television from guys over a couple of days. It's not necessarily, if TNA wanted to use the Briscoes, they don't have to take them away from Ring of Honor for a month. They could take them away from Ring of Honor for 3 or 4 days and get a whole month's worth of TV and vice versa. You know, TNA, if they wanted to send Eli Drake to Ring of Honor for a television taping, it's a couple of days. It's not a couple of weeks. So I think the scheduling aspect there could work for both sides if they wanted to ever get together and make something happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Anything else for us tonight, Colin?
And final question. If Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel are not determined to be the full-time bookers once we get past the airing of this set of tapings, who do you suppose will be either helping Matt Conway or over Matt Conway in terms of the creative department?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to see Dutch especially, but Jeff Jarrett, too, certainly gets some influence there. If it's not them, you know, if you're looking at just guys that are within the company right now, I wouldn't be opposed to going and proposing something to Matt Hardy to see if he were interested in coming on in some sort of creative role, along with, obviously, with his role on camera. And then, you know, I mean, there's old staples, right? I mean, if Anthem was willing to go to Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel again, would they be willing to talk to Jim Cornette? Maybe not as head of creative, but some type of consultant type role. And then, I mean, there's some out of the box type thing, some out of the box candidates as well that maybe have no experience, former wrestlers that don't really have any experience on the creative side of things that I think you could bring in, and maybe they could work with Matt Conway and learn. I don't know of any names in particular, but you know, you think of WWE right now, and you know, Brian James is one of their big. I think he's one of the head writers for SmackDown. I mean, who would have saw that coming 5 or 6 years ago? So there could be a guy out there like that has a good creative mind. Maybe even Shane Helms, you know, who's already in the company, who hasn't really worked much in creative, but could be brought along by someone with some experience like Matt Conway, and maybe start to make some contributions. Any thoughts on anybody that could be out there, Andrew?
Who came to mind was Matt Hardy. I think he's shown that he does have some success, at least in getting a buzz. He's a very creative individual. Not everyone's going to love that style. Otherwise, yeah, I was thinking, trying to think more outside the box. Maybe somebody like a Raven. You know, he has some experience with the company. If they just wanted to find a wrestler who's known for being intelligent, for being creative, maybe they could bring somebody like him in. But I think it's for sure that they're going to need somebody because, as we've seen, things can be kind of, they've been kind of rough lately. So it would be nice to get some sort of creative direction that they're all on board with.
Yeah, you know, I'm not totally sold on John Gaborik as any type of head of creative. I know he has production experience, but was never really in a creative role that I'm aware of with WWE or TNA. One name I'll throw out there that's really outside the box and I think has a very low percentage chance of happening, but a guy who I think would do a really good job in that sort of role is Lance Storm. I mean, I've listened to a lot of his podcasts, his ideas on how to book and how things should be booked. And I also know he has experience working with Paul Heyman. When he was in ECW, he was working a lot with Paul Heyman and Raven and Tommy Dreamer booking the ECW shows. So I doubt from listening to his podcast that he would ever want to move out of Calgary and take on that type of role. And I know he has a very successful wrestling school up there as well. But a guy for a couple of years from just listening to his opinions that I've always thought would do a really good job in a creative role in a major company is somebody like Lance Storm.
Yeah, and now now that you say Lance Storm, it makes me think Al Snow, just like listening to him on the Torch live cast and other interviews. Exactly. I'd be fascinated to see what he could do.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's obviously already affiliated with TNA as well. Well, Kylan, hey, we appreciate the call.
I look forward to talking to both of you next week.
Sounds good, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Kylan drops off the line, and that opens up a spot for you if you want to call in. The number, of course, 515-605-9345, 515-605-9345. We have more callers on the line. We're going to take a quick break, though. We'll be back in just a minute. On the other side of the break, we're going to get to the answer of our next TNA trivia question. This also comes from Andrew. Who was the first person to ever beat Sting cleanly on a TNA pay-per-view? Stick around. We'll be back in just a minute with the answer to that question and more of your calls on the PW Torch Livecast.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
Back on the PW Torch Livecast post-impact edition here on a Thursday night. Wade Keller had an interview Thursday earlier today. He had Steve Austin on the show. You can check that out at pwtorchlivecast.com. We're going to get back to the phone calls, though, talking tonight's episode of Impact Wrestling, 515-605-9345. And up next, he's been holding for a while. We appreciate it, man. Boris from Chicago. Boris, how you doing? Hello, Boris. Can you hear us? All right, we'll put Boris back on hold for a minute and go back to him in just a couple of minutes. Andrew and I are also going to get the three things we liked about this episode in just a couple of minutes. Oh, actually, you know what? We never did the answer to our trivia question. What am I doing? Before we go, the trivia questions are new, man. I completely lost it there. Who was the first person to beat Sting cleanly on a TNA pay-per-view? Andrew, who was it? Drum roll.
Well, I'll go into it a little bit. In 2003, Sting started with TNA Impact, and in 2009, he put over the young up-and-comer Mick Foley at Lockdown.
Oh, what? I mean, he needed that win.
A future star of the business.
I don't know if the kid would have gotten over without that win.
No, there was no way he'd be Raw General Manager right now if Sting hadn't made him look like $1 million that night.
Absolutely. All right, well, back to the phone calls. We'll try Boris again in a minute. The number is 515-605-9345. Dustin from Texas is also on the line. Dustin, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
What do you got for us?
Well, I'm honestly shocked to see that Bobby Lashley has won his fourth world title. And that was, I was wondering, I'll get y'all's opinion, why would they take the belt off Eddie Edwards? He was doing a really, really, really good job.
You know, I think they may have just wanted a shakeup too, not being number one. Number two, you know, new ownership. Who knows, new ownership, some new creative people in charge, who knows what type of direction they want the company to go in. You know, I think that this is, there was the potential to have some creative shakeup when you have a new ownership group come in and some new people in charge, some new people in management. So I don't know if this was the plan all along. You know, if Billy Corgan never left TNA, if that whole mess never happened, would Eddie Edwards still be TNA champion? I don't know. But, you know, I think it doesn't necessarily surprise me when you know that, okay, there's a lot of new people involved, a lot of new opinions that are being listened to that maybe were never listened to before. Andrew, I mean, we talked about earlier how we think that this could be a good decision moving forward, but were you surprised to see them do it at this point? Did you think maybe Edwards would hang on to that title for a little bit longer?
Yeah, actually I did. I thought he would probably hold on to it for at least another month or two. They went back to Lashley. I think it's his fourth run with the belt, so they usually don't trade it back and forth that fast. Though in TNA, they usually don't do really long title run, so I felt it was, you know, probably a month or two away before Edwards is going to drop it to somebody. But since kind of how we've talked about, there isn't a big roster to choose from right now, they just went into Lashley, so he can probably feud with the Hardys for a bit.
Dustin, what was it about Edwards that you thought he was doing really well? I mean, in terms of champion, you said you thought he was doing really well. Were there specific things that you thought Eddie Edwards was doing really well as TNA champion?
Well, I just know he's had some really, really great matches the last several weeks, and ever since he's been the champion, he's been doing a phenomenal job, and he's the guy that would only, I think, the only champion that I remember in TNA that would win his matches fair and square, and Michael Lashley, with him having the title, Lashley tends to take the short way and then cheat. And I think Eddie Edwards did a better job than Lashley.
You know, it'll be, you're right, first of all. I mean, Eddie Edwards was having, I think, some really good matches as champion. I think Eddie Edwards just in general, is going to have really good matches with guys he's in there with. I'm personally really excited about what Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards can do together. I think there's obviously chemistry there. They've been a team for a while. And if they do go in the direction of those two guys feuding, I think we could see some of the best singles matches of Eddie Edwards' career, just because we all know how good Davey Richards is. And Eddie Edwards, I think, has grown a lot. And those two together, with the type of chemistry they should have, and just as good as Davey Richards is, I think that maybe could elevate Eddie Edwards to another level. And I wonder if that alone might get him back into the conversation in the title picture again, maybe again, you know, around the time he won it last year, right around Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I want to give one more thing here before I go. I was wondering why, why are they splitting the Wolves up? Why are they having a feud against each other? I was wondering, that shocked me. To see that they're going to be feuding against each other. That's shocking.
Andrew, any thoughts on why they're going in this direction with the Wolves?
Sure. Well, Davey Richards has talked about this being his last year in wrestling, so maybe they just want to get to that. Have Edwards, I would assume then, go over and look as good as he can, heading off into the future. Otherwise, I just think it's Eddie needs somebody to work with. I think this will be good for him. I don't think him losing the title is going to be bad for his career, because I think he does kind of need something that he can sink his teeth into from a creative standpoint, and this could really help him, like you said, get back into that conversation for World Heavyweight Champion.
You know, I agree. I think part of it, Dustin, like Andrew was saying, is Davey Richards said this is his last year in wrestling. And I think what we're going to see here is, I think they're going to do the Wolves feud, which I think could be really, really good. I mean, I think those two are going to have phenomenal matches together. And then you can always go back to, you know, one last match. You know, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards get through this whole feud. When they're done with it, though, they shake hands. There's a respect there at the end of it. They make up, and then you've got the finale, you know, November, December, whenever it may be, Eddie Edwards' last match, or Davey Richards' last match in TNA, teaming with Eddie Edwards against the Hardys, against whomever. I think that's where they're going to go. I think we're going to see a few that takes them through the summer, through Slammiversary, and then, you know, at some point, I think you're going to see them come back together as a team and finish up as a babyface team to send Davey Richards on a high note.
Well, guys, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Dustin. We appreciate the call. 515-605-9345. Before we get to the three things we liked about this week's show, let's give Boris one more shot. Boris in Chicago, can you hear us?
Boris in Chicago.
Hey, Boris, what's going on?
Hey, it's great to hear from you guys. I caught the first show on demand, and I thought I'd try to catch you guys live this time.
And, awesome, man. We appreciate it.
It's good to hear something about TNA. You know, what do you guys think about the first part, since I'm just talking to you guys now, the part with Matt Hardy and the Delete? And, what do you think about that, the whole Delete broken Matt Hardy?
About the whole gimmick that he's been able to put together the last 6 months or so? There are definitely parts of it that are not my cup of tea. You know, there are definitely parts of it that I sit there and go, this isn't the type of wrestling that I really enjoy. But there's been plenty of it that I think has been really entertaining. But I think it's been more entertaining than not. It's been a little campy. It's been a little silly. But you know what? It's gotten people talking. And there's more people over the last, since that first final deletion match in June or July, whenever it was, to now, there have been more people talking about TNA than there have been in probably 2 or 3 years. At least talking about TNA in terms of what's happening within the television program, not behind the scenes. So you can't argue, I think, with the buzz that it's generated. I mean, there's a reason they keep going back to it. There's been a lot of buzz created from it. I think it's been a positive for their company as a whole. Andrew, what have been your impressions of what Matt Hardy's done with the broken Matt Hardy character and the whole story they've told?
I'm kind of with you on some stuff I love, like Final Deletion was probably one of my top five favorite things from last year. It blew my mind. I had no idea it was coming. I laughed throughout. But by the time they got to Tag Team Apocalypto, I'm not into like the supernatural stuff as much. I like the stuff that could happen in reality, like you know, him running over his brother's lawn with his lawnmower and stuff like that works for me. But like Crazy Steve getting shot out of a volcano, it's too much for me to like go from that and then to get invested into like Eddie Edwards versus Davey Richards, like, or Crazy Steve murdering a man on TV. It's those worlds don't really match for me. So if he could tone it down just a touch, I'm all on board.
Yeah, that's where it loses me a little bit too, is some of the over-the-top supernatural stuff. Boris, what have your thoughts been on what the Hardys have done?
Well, yeah, I admit some of it was kind of hard to swallow, but, you know, it wasn't a bad way. I couldn't keep coming back for that. And I was just wondering, was that, I like the, they were going to have a crossover, it was kind of a crossover, I don't know what you want to call it, but they're going to go against the Young Bucks, and the way they present that, which is making it more unique, and I really enjoyed it. What do you think about that?
I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know where it's going. I don't know when they're going to collide. But when they do, I'm going to make it a point to make sure I'm watching that show. Whether it's on TNA, whether it's on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, whatever, wherever it ends up being. I mean, that's going to be a fun match. And I think it's going to be what could be a fun series of matches. Because, I don't see those four guys getting together and just wanting to do it once. I think they're going to want to do something that has a little more legs to it. And those are four really creative guys. I mean, Matt and Jeff Hardy have made a name for themselves with the broken character and that whole story. And the Young Bucks have certainly made a name for themselves just on their own throughout the independence. So that is four pretty creative guys that could get together and do four pretty creative things, I think.
Yeah. I have one more question.
Absolutely.
With Jeff Jarrett and the other guy, Dutch Mantel, coming back, when will we know when their shows take over? So I don't have an actual way to watch like tomorrow on YouTube or something, anything from TNA, because I'm one of the cord cutters. So when will we kind of tell when they're, when they take back over?
First of all, I'm jealous that you're a cord cutter. I've been wanting to do that for like a year.
Really awesome.
And my wife keeps telling me no.
Yeah. With the cord cutter.
But
most people, I'm sorry. Most people.
Oh, go ahead.
Are still most people connected to the sports or watching live TV, but I noticed that there's ways to actually watch the local channels. I'm from Chicago. So I have a way. It used to be US TV Now, but it turned into Antenna on Apple TV 4, and it gives you all the local channels. So instead of having the regular channel 7, I have 27, but it's still 7. So anything locally I want to see, I'm able to see that through that. And it's a way that you set up your Apple TV through jailbreaking it to allow it to do that, just so you know.
There you go.
As for
when we might see Dutchies and Jeff get some more influence in the shows, I would think it would be at the next set of tapings and when those new shows debut, which, Andrew, I mean, what did they tape? They probably taped 6 or 7 episodes the first set of tapings, maybe 8?
It's quite a bit. I've been trying to avoid that, so I don't know if it's going to be 3 weeks from now or 4, but it should be coming up soon, and that, for me, is kind of like the next big thing to look forward to and see what kind of big changes, if any, are going to be happening soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Boris, when you hear them advertise their next live edition of Impact, that's obviously going to coincide with the next set of tapings. That's when I would imagine we would see them with more of their fingerprints on the show. I mean, that's, another 8 weeks that they're involved. That's when I think you'll probably see it.
Oh, great. So hopefully they allow the Hardys to, keep on expressing their creativeness,
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I agree with you. All right, man. Well, hey, we appreciate the call tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. All right. Let's get to our three things that we liked. Andrew and I both went through. We did not compare notes here, but we each jotted down three things that we liked about this week's show. We were talking about this before the show. We were going to jot down anything, something as small as, hey, I really like that camera angle, to something as general as, hey, I really like that match. But we each jotted down three things that we liked about this show that we found entertaining about it. Andrew, what was the first of three things that you liked about the show?
Tonight, number three is going to be the X Division returns. You reminded me last week that they had not been on at all. It totally slipped my mind that they just disappeared off the face of the earth, but they came back. It wasn't amazing, but they were there tonight, and so it's good to know they're all alive and well.
At least we know they're not getting rid of them.
Yeah. Well, how about you? What's your number three?
My number three was the spot in the opening match where Matt Hardy hit a bulldog on Crazy Steve while also connecting on a clothesline with Kingston at the same time. I thought that was a pretty cool move. I don't remember seeing anything like that before. Matt Hardy had Crazy Steve and running bulldog and then stuck out his arm at Kingston, who was rushing him, and hit him with a clothesline. And I just thought to myself, hey, you know what? That was a pretty cool little spot. I liked it. What did you have as your number two?
Number two, I'm just going to go with the outcome of the main event. Bobby Lashley wins the title. You know, I think Eddie was okay. Like you said, I think he was given the belt too soon. I don't think there was enough fan support for it. I'm glad to see Lashley with the belt again. Hopefully they can recapture some of maybe that magic they had with him before. So just excited to see him holding the belt once again.
I went with using rules in the Grand Championship match. And we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show when we were running down what was going on. I'm not a big fan of the Grand Championship, the whole structure of the MMA-type rounds and the scoring. You know, at first I thought it was going to work. I don't think it's worked the way that they thought it was going to. And to me, it sort of slows down the show too much. But I liked some of the enforcement that they've done, not only this week, but last week, where they took a point away from Drew Galloway for the low blow. You know, I like that type of enforcement. I like that they have a set of rules, they have a set of standards, and they're sticking to them. And I think that that's what we need more of in wrestling. Here's the rule book. Here's what we need to do. Here's the structure that we're confined to, and then enforcing those rules. I think that we need to do more of that stuff, even or just in regular matches, you know. And I thought that this was a good thing to see over these last couple of weeks, that they have a rule book, they're sticking to the rule book, and it just makes it, I think, easier for fans to watch the show and understand what it is going on, and it gives heels, you know, rules are what gives heels the ability to cheat. If you don't have any rules, there's nothing for the heels to break. So I thought it was just really well done the way that they actually enforced those rules in that match tonight.
Right. No, I liked how Galloway just kind of gave him a low blow with his foot, but it was kind of questionable. Like maybe his foot just came up when he hit the mat. So I do like that the ref told him, yeah, we're taking away a point. And the announcers kind of said like, well, maybe he didn't do it on purpose. So yes, I like that pick.
Yeah, no, I liked it too. What did you have as your number one thing about that you liked about this week's episode of Impact?
The number one thing I liked was just, in general, Rosemary versus Jade. I thought that was a good match. It's something different than what you'll see on WWE when it comes to their women's matches, which I think is important. Of course, you don't want to do, like, crazy matches every week with the women, but they didn't take any, like, scary bumps, except for, I'm guessing, those thumbtacks don't feel well, but I think Rosemary looked strong. I think Jade looked strong in defeat, and I think that was just a very good 10-minute match on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was, like we were saying earlier, you know, I thought it was a really good match, especially for that type of style. The number one thing that I liked about this show, and I thought it was really smart, was not using a clock in the Iron Man match, in the main event. They did not put a clock graphic on the screen until very late. They did intermittently. You know, here and there you'd see a clock flash up and say 21 minutes and then it would fade away. And I really wondered how they were going to handle that, because I thought it was dangerous to advertise and to go with an Iron Man match as your main event on regular TV. I thought was a really dangerous move because you run the risk of an audience member going, oh, well, you know what? The finish isn't going to come for another 28 minutes. They got a clock on the screen. I'm not going to miss anything. I'll tune out. You know, I'll flip the channel and watch this NBA game I want to watch, this NHL game I want to watch, and not have to worry about missing anything, because you know the finish of the match isn't coming for the next 20-something minutes. The fact that they didn't use a clock I thought was really, really smart, because if you just flipped on the show, I mean, you could look at your clock and get an idea, but if you were just flipping on the show and saw Lashley and Edwards in the ring, you wouldn't have known that, hey, there's 20 minutes left in this match, there's 15 minutes left in this match, whatever. Yeah, you'd really have no way of knowing. So I thought that was a really smart decision to try to keep people tuned in and not necessarily give people a reason to tune out and flip the channel. And then another short little thing that I jotted down here right after that, which I thought was just a funny part of the match. After Eddie Edwards gets counted out on the ramp, I don't know if you heard this, but after he gets counted out on the ramp the first time and the referee comes to check on him and then walks back into the ring, you can hear the person in the seat right next to where Eddie Edwards is laying down and out cold on the ramp. You can hear that person two or three times go, hey, Eddie, you need some water? Do you need some water? And I heard it two or three times, and I cracked up. I thought that was great, that little clip of audio of some fan in the front row asking Eddie Edwards if he needed a glass of water made it through and somehow made it through the sound mix. I thought that was great. I really enjoyed that part.
That is awesome. I didn't even catch that. I would not have even had they asked me before the match, I'd say, yeah, put up the clock, give it a more sports-like feel. But no, I totally get what you're saying. I never even thought of it that way. And I was just going to say, talking about people in the crowd, like, you can kind of, due to the nature of how they shoot in the small arena, you can, like, pick up on people. Like, when Rosemary won her match, multiple people were just politely saying, thank you, Rosemary. Thank you, Rosemary. Like, thanks for what? She just beat up a good guy and like spit in Gail Kim's face. So that cracked me up. And but it's not exactly a positive.
Yeah, no, but you know, there's other elements of it too. Like I noted in my report at the end of the main event, the last two or three minutes. I mean, you could see that everybody in the building was standing up. I mean, you could see what it did to the live crowd. You could see that the live crowd is really into that match. And in a big arena, I mean, you obviously could see people standing. But I thought that the smaller crowd and the smaller setting, you really got an accurate sense of what the energy was in that building. Sometimes with the bigger arenas, it might sound like there's a big reaction. But, you know, you talk to people who are live in the building, they go, oh, man, it was dead, you know. At least, you know. Hey, my section was dead. Maybe it was live. Maybe it was really lively wherever the mics were, but my section, nobody was saying anything. In a small setting like that, you really get an idea of how the crowd feels about a match. And I thought that, I thought they were really good during the main event, especially towards the end. You could tell that they were into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, TNA, there's a lot of things we can harp on, but when it comes to just like delivering a show built around matches, they usually do a pretty good job. So tonight overall was definitely a lot more fun for me than last week and probably the past few weeks.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? This has probably been my favorite show of the year so far for them. I thought that, and they've always done a pretty good job of building up these themed episodes around the Genesis name or whatever they do. These themed episodes of Impact, they've always done a pretty good job with. We're going to get out of here in just a couple of minutes. I know we were going to do a flashback to 5 years ago. We just ran out of time. So we'll try to do that next week. It's going to be something we try to do every week if we have time for it. Just take a look at where TNA was 5 years ago or 10 years ago and just look back. And obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, take a trip in that TNA time machine and give you some thoughts on where the company was 20 years ago and where it could be going moving forward. But before we get out of here, I want to tell you about PW Torch VIP. It's one of the best values in all of wrestling. If you like this show, you're going to love PW Torch VIP, I promise you. As a VIP member, you get access to everything. Back issues of the PW Torch newsletter, hours upon hours of exclusive VIP podcasts with guys like Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, so many more. To go VIP, you can visit www.pwtorch.com/GoVIP. And we're going to take one more quick break. On the other side, we'll give you our final thoughts on this week's edition of Impact. But before we go, a quick break to tell you more about PW Torch VIP.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with a 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
All right, it's about time for Andrew and I to get out of here. But Andrew, before we do, thoughts, final thoughts on this week's episode of Impact, and any thoughts looking ahead as we get ready for Open Fight Night a week from today?
Yeah, tonight was a relief for me. Last week, I thought was really bad. I thought it had a couple of the worst segments I've seen in this short year so far. So tonight, dropping the nonsense minus Braxton Sutter and Laurel Van Ness's date, I think worked out well. And yeah, I'm very...
We didn't even get to break things down.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't give hard-hitting analysis on the Braxton Sutter Laurel Van Ness date.
Hopefully we'll come back next week so we can really get into it.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll be ready for the end of the story.
Right. We'll be here as it happens. A good show. Nothing mind-blowing, but a good solid fun 2 hours of wrestling, and looking forward to this new hopefully a creative direction with Jared and Mantel. What did you think?
Yeah, I liked it too. Like I said, I thought it was one of the better episodes of the year so far, if not the best episode of the year. I thought they've set up some things for Open Fight Night too. I think we're going to see Jeff Hardy and Lashley. That seemed to be what they teased. Definitely teased DJZ and Trevor Lee. And then, Decay. Decay has their briefcases too. So who knows? Is it Decay or DCC has their briefcase? So
I think DCC has it, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see that could be two matches for the Hardys next week. We'll have to see. But yeah, I thought this was a really good show, and like TNA has been doing, they put some hooks in to get people back for next week, which I think is smart and really good as well.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us for tonight. Thank you guys for listening to the PW Torch livecast. Tomorrow night, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryan will be by for the primetime edition. Sunday night, I don't know who the hosts are, but I know there will be a post Royal Rumble edition of the PW Torch livecast. I think it may be. I'm not even going to guess. I don't know. I know in the past, Greg Parks has been part of that show, so it'll probably be Greg and another host as well, but check out that. Monday night, Wade Keller will be by with the post-Raw edition. Tuesday night, Wade will be by with a guest on the post-SmackDown edition. Wednesday, it's the flagship, and then Thursday, we'll be back here next Thursday night, but Wade Keller will host the PW Torch livecast next Thursday afternoon for Interview Thursday. It's one of the most downloaded and one of the favorite episodes of the week, of course. Earlier today, Wade had an interview with Steve Austin. You can check that out at pwtorchlivecast.com. So thank you guys once again for listening to the PW Torch Livecast. Andrew and I will talk to you next week right after Impact Wrestling's Open Fight Night. Thanks once again for listening. Check out pwtorch.com for my report on tonight's show and Andrew's hits and misses on tonight's show as well. Thank you once again for listening to the PW Torch Livecast, and we will talk again next week right after Impact goes off the air.
Yeah.